In stark contrast to the traditional liberal, the traditional radio talk show host is usually so desperate to win every argument that he, and this particular breed of broadcaster is almost always a he, essentially constructs an echo chamber of epic proportions and invites callers to pay homage at the altar of his ego. They are called talk shows for a reason, and monologues have come to play a big part in my work, but when actually interacting with callers, less talking and more listening has, in the second half of the 14 years I've been doing it, yielded much more satisfying results. For my own part, I'm happy to employ a little bombast in defence of my own positions, and even happier to explain and justify them properly, but always keenest to hear people who disagree with me about everything from immigration to feminism, obesity to Islamist extremism, attempt to explain and justify their own positions. I would love to claim otherwise. You need at least a slightly overdeveloped ego to do this job after all. But the fact that they rarely manage to do so is not necessarily testament to any particular talents on my part. It is a simple reflection of the fact that hardly anyone is asked to explain their opinions these days, to outline not just what they believe, but why. Even more worryingly, the way in which furiously held convictions so often collapse under the scantest scrutiny speaks to a British society which has morphed during my years on air into a space where, for reasons we will explore, people who once felt compelled by common decency, or political correctness as they often prefer to describe it, to keep their most vile views to themselves, now feel free to shout them from the rooftops. Racism is enjoying a resurgence on both sides of the Atlantic on a scale I would have considered impossible just 5 years ago. The sort of language and ideas once confined to my most ignorant and bigoted callers have found their way into the White House. And the world seems split into people who find this immensely gratifying and people who find it all as puzzling as it is terrifying. Anti-Semitism, weapons-grade misogyny, white supremacism, homophobia, and quite horrible attempts to frame all Muslim people as complicit in the actions of any Muslim terrorist or criminal have moved squarely into the mainstream media. I believe that this has happened precisely because divisive sloganeering and rancid rhetoric have gone unchecked. In short, people are not being challenged to justify their views or explain why they think what they do. Financial crises and the ensuing hardening of the daily struggle just to get by have always left populations susceptible to the stoking of ancient hatreds, and millions of refugees fleeing wars can quickly be turned into scapegoats for public sector failings by people seeking popularity and power. The job of describing and challenging this process traditionally falls to the liberal, the truth-teller, the objective journalist, but they are a cowed breed right now. All too conscious that comforting lies deliver more clicks, viewers, listeners, and profits than uncomfortable truths. This, I think, is why so many of my own encounters with people utterly persuaded of their own righteousness, but often to their own shock and horror, completely unable to justify any of it, have enjoyed so much success online recently. It has been undeniably good for my career, somewhat less so for my soul. Almost everywhere, blatant lies are offered up as balance to demonstrable truths. Exaggerations and embellishments are allowed in the interests of impartiality. And any attempt to correct misleading statements is decried as evidence of an unspecified but deeply suspect agenda. Why should Bob in Sunderland or Julia in Richmond expect their views on, say, immigration, to be challenged when every time they turn on their radios and televisions or open their newspapers, they see respected establishment figures expounding similar views unchallenged, unchecked, and, it often seems, unceasingly? So let's begin with immigration. Contrary to what many people claim, you can talk about it in this country without being called a racist. I should know, I've been doing it for over a decade and nobody's ever called me one with a straight face. Indeed, it's hard to imagine quite how the phone-in radio format would survive without the regular deliveries of conversational red meat that immigration issues routinely provide. While being told regularly that it is a taboo topic, there have been times over recent years when it's felt like we talk of little else. Nevertheless, the notion that you somehow can't talk about immigration without being called a racist is a perfect example of a hollow, deliberately deceitful